Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Dana Moon Part 2 episode. My favorite part of her interview was talking about micropenises. Gotta love it. Thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome for the second time on the podcast, comedian Dana Moon Part 2. Thanks for coming. It's been 2 years. How you been?
First of all, missing the show.
So dude, thank you
for having me back. And I guess I've been better.
Mm-hmm. I like that you're active on your Instagram. I love your characters.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I know. I was talking about how I started off doing characters, mm-hmm. and then I started doing stand-up, and I stopped doing characters for a while.
Why is that?
And I don't know. It's the weirdest thing. And then the past, especially during the pandemic when stand-up was dead,
nullified,
I just really leaned into the characters even more and kind of created a couple more that people really like,
right?
And it's really interesting because I'm just like, I always used to think in black and white, like, is it stand-up or is it characters? And it's like,
right.
Well, it's just all comedy, like, it's all together. Like, my brain tries to make things more complicated,
right? Can I tell you my favorite one?
Yeah.
The meditational healer.
Do you know Water?
There's one where you're in the kitchen and you go, ah! You're like doing these circles. Explain to the viewers this character, because I love this character so much that
Janelle is I was inspired by Janelle by first of all, Erica, like a TV exec, was like, we have to make fun of these Instagram spiritual healers because they're full of shit, right? There's some that are legit, but like most of these like LA spiritual healers are like, it's total away.
Yeah. No, I was pointing at you. No. I'll pound you out, dude, but I didn't want to cut you out. I was just pointing at you like exclamation point.
I'm
pointing at you.
And I pound myself.
Okay, I'll put my hand up.
So she's basically just like, she was an LA party girl that turned into a spiritual healer. And so she's just, you know, she seems like she's like always on drugs, but she's high off of the universe. And whenever I do her in public, like people think that it's a real person.
Really?
And they like think that they're like, you know, with it's in the presence of like a spiritual healer, and there it's interesting, like people's response when I do this character in public, because I feel like people are very loving toward, like, I see a different side of people, which is interesting.
Now, what's a dead, you mentioned something interesting that kind of caught my attention. You said that there, it's kind of like a fake thing. Is it because of LA or something? Or they,
I think it's like this trendy kind of like new age, like I can change your life with, you know, talking about the law of attraction and talking about just, I don't know. There's just some people that I think are full of shit. And it's like, I'm very careful because I do follow these accounts and there's some people that I do love. But I don't know. I think there's a lot of them that are just like that brainwash people and they like have this like cult following. And I'm just going to straddle the mic.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, do these healers or spiritual advisors, do they mess with like tarot cards and stuff like that?
Oh, tarot. Yeah.
See, I'm kind of scared of that stuff.
Why are you scared of tarot?
Because because a lot of the cards, they take literal, or the translation could be lost. Like they could base like life decisions just on a card. Like if they see a card.
Oh, you think like other people are taking it?
Yeah, like if you get a reading, right? And then they pull out like the Hermit card and then, you know, depending, that can mean a whole bunch of different things, right? Yeah. But they in their minds, they have this whole story, you know, like of what that card really means in their life at that moment. That can be scary.
Well, I also just think you can take any of those and apply it to like, ooh, I pulled the card of love and I saw a guy today and like maybe, and you know, it's just like whatever
mm-hmm.
you can come up with and find those like attachments. And I went to a psychic.
Think about it.
She was really late. I was waiting on her.
Yeah.
And she was like, sorry, girl. I was just, you know, my parking angel just didn't show up. And I was like, what?
Wait.
Like, my parking angel, Maurice, he was late. He helps me park. You can use them anytime. And then, so she starts pulling these cards. She's like, why are you, so you're in entertainment. What? It's like, it's LA. Yeah, of course I'm in entertainment. Yeah. And she's like, okay, so I see you making good career moves. I see you like running your own show. And I just want to let you know that I'm also an actress. So just remember me and like wink, wink, like kind of joking. But I was like, what is happening?
Oh,
like,
she's networking.
She's networking at the reading.
Holy smokes. Yes, that really happened?
That happened to me. And everything that she said, there was actually a couple of really good things that she said because I recorded it. I can't remember the good things that she said, but I just remember everything being so vague. And I was thinking, like, I could do a reading.
You could totally do it.
I could do a reading for people. And
so you just need to bullshit.
The thing that... Also, where I was inspired by this character is how much they, like, charge you for things.
What do you mean?
Like...
They charge you extra for added things?
Spiritual healers charge just a lot of money for, like, sign up for my program. So to sign up for this, like, six-month program would be, like, you know, like, $70 a month or something. And it's this exclusive, like, heal your inner child workshop. And you're going to get access to all my... all of like these, you know, inner workings to like tap into your most authentic self. And it's like $500. And I'm like, but you know,
$500 for one session.
Well, just like if you want to subscribe to like a 6 month thing and,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. No way, Jose.
So, and
that's too much money.
They have books. And so,
it's a lucrative business, though, is what you're saying.
I should quit comedy and just be
we're going to get to your comedy. Now, I'm just curious because, you know, on the Stevie Weeby Show, we interview a lot of entertainers, but a lot of comedians. Yeah. And I always kind of ask about, how do you write how do you come up with new jokes and premises and how you test that out and...
Yeah.
What's that? How's that process?
I feel like the more I travel and the more I put myself in, I don't want to say uncomfortable situations, but new experiences, that's kind of works my brain in a different way. And I start coming up with ideas. It's always when I travel. Like I went on family vacation. I came up with a bunch of new bits, character sketches. Anytime mm-hmm. I go home to Connecticut and around my family, I think I get tripped up. Like if I stay in LA too long, I feel like it's hard to kind of come up with
like
material. Like I need to like leave and experience life.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And is this wrong for me to say it's kind of hard to gauge maybe out here since there's so many other comedians? And because I remember when I was taking a crack at it, I remember I was at, is Marty still around?
Yeah. No.
No, it's gone.
No, so it's Marty's gone. Why did I say yeah?
Marty's was a stand-up like workshop, but you would have to pay him $5.
Marty's was like three rooms in Hollywood.
I just remember.
And it was like every depressed comic, open micer, just starting out. And everyone was like drinking and smoking weed and like doing drugs. And there was like, it was the darkest energy ever. And then there was comics on stage in each room and no one was listening.
Okay, so
they were just like standing there doing their set and no one was paying attention. It was so sad.
So I remember one night I was there performing in front of no one and you were there And then just your, it's like, you gave me such a motherly, supportive energy because I was doing my, like, because I used to do a cowboy rap bit. And I was performing in front of no one. And then you were just kind of like, I came out and you looked at me so sad but supportive. You're like, come here, sweetie. You're like, it's going to be okay.
It's going to be fine.
Steven, come over here. It's okay. But it was depressing, right?
It's so depressing. That's so funny. I went on a date with this guy and he told me, he's like, don't take this the wrong way, but like, you give me like mom vibes. And I was like, I get that all the time.
No,
like,
that's a good, you do?
Yeah.
But that's, you know what?
In a
way, that's a compliment.
I have like mother energy.
But that's a compliment in a way. You know why? Because that means that you have that nurturing energy.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
I guess it is, but I don't think that's something you want to hear when you're like dating a guy in the beginning and he's like, yeah, you just remind me of my mom.
Oh, that, okay, I get it. I got it.
Like, once he said that, I was like, okay, so we're definitely like just gonna be friends probably, and he's gonna call me up for advice.
Well, one last story before I'll get off Marty's, but can I tell you one last really embarrassing thing that happened there? So I was in the main, there's the main room in Marty's, right? There's those other rooms.
That's, you can call that, yeah.
Okay, so it was the biggest room there. So I was doing, again, my cowboy rap. No one was there. It was Marty on his keyboard. But you know who walked in? Damon Wayans. And I was so embarrassed because I was like, in my mind, I'm like.
He should be embarrassed for going there.
I don't know why he was there.
A lot of comics who are like workshopping a lot of things would go there because there you can get up so many times.
But no one's listening.
But then I would sometimes, I actually use this to my benefit. I would go with friends and I would be like, can you, like, we would watch each other and give each other notes.
So like, it was a real workshop.
There's ways that you could, yeah, that you can utilize it. So I can see why he would go. He probably wanted to work out some stuff.
Right, yeah. Right. Now, you mentioned dating. Like, can we shift over to dating maybe in LA? How difficult that is? Is it a difficult thing?
I think yes, but I have a new, outlook. Mm-hmm. I have a new outlook on it.
Go ahead.
Which is, it's just a numbers game. Like, you know, it's just like that? Sales. It's like you just got to keep like putting yourself out there. You have to just like stack up
what
the dates.
Stack up? What do you mean stack?
Just boom, yeah, bang, bang, bang.
You make it seem like this is Las Vegas, like a fucking get, like a casino, yeah. Like chips, well, and stuff.
It's a numbers game. So it's like you just have to meet as many people as you can. And then you will meet, you know, if. Because there's so many crazy people here.
Yeah.
So I feel like you just have to make peace with meeting raging psychopaths.
Right.
And being vulnerable and putting yourself out there. And then I think eventually what happens is you will meet a normal, cool person that you vibe with. That's my...
Dating another comic, yes or no?
I would say no.
No. What are the reasons why?
First of all, it's like competitive.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Like, if you're funnier than them, if you make a funnier joke, like for a women's point of view, like if a male comic, like I couldn't be funnier than him because he would feel
threatened
and get insecure and get weird. And that's, I've experienced that before.
You have.
And there's this weird competitive energy, like, oh, I got this. And then the guy being like, how did you get that? You know? And it has to be like the both comics, I think, have to be at the same level. Like,
or one has to be very higher, much higher. It could work that way, too.
But yeah, yeah.
If one's way higher, like on a network show or something like that, and the other one's.
Then you always toy with the idea of like somebody who isn't on that network show and like. Like, are you using me? Like, do you really like me? Are you trying to, like, get something from me? Because I actually ended things recently with this one guy who...
We don't have to say his name.
I won't. Okay. I forgot it. Also, I, like, don't remember it. I really don't remember his name.
Okay.
He was, like, a big executive at, whatever.
Okay, whatever production company. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
And he would do this thing where he would be, like... So there's this big
comedy movie we're doing that's coming up, and we need a girl who's like funny and can play like butch. And he was like describing the role, and I'm like, oh, me, you know, but I didn't say that.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking, like, he's like politely Harvey Weinsteining me. Like, he's so nicely doing it, but there's this layer of like, I could help you, but I'm not, you know, like, he's
I'm
kind
not
of,
sure.
Yeah. So
that depends on you.
So he's kind of like, was a gentleman about being a creep, but he was also using his power. And it was in a way like, we haven't had sex yet. And it was like, in a way I was like, he's doing this to try to sleep with me. Like, I felt that energy. And I also just felt like, I was like, I don't think he really like respects me. And I was like, no, I'm not doing this.
Right.
He was in the comedy world, but on a different.
No, I hear you. And I'm glad we're leaving it anonymous. But now it's it's time. Now a word from our sponsor.
When I was 12 years old, my uncle Ronnie beat me so damn bad with the belt buckle, I was bruised at the hips for about 6 weeks. When I was 24 years old, my ex-girlfriend Susie Q had broken up with me for no apparent reason. When I was 32 years old, a ghost was following me into my goddamn dreams like Freddy Krueger. The point being is I could have used someone to talk to. That's why BetterHelp is here. Now, let me get to the logistics. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. All remote. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. So why invest in everything else and not your mind? This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Stevie Weeby listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/Stevie. Again, BetterHelp.com/Stevie, STEEBEE. Get the help you want today with BetterHelp, my friends. See you later.
And we're back. So going back to that particular situation, like, did you get red flags like throughout? Like, when did you start feeling like warning signs about this particular person? Like, would he do weird stuff? Like, say weird stuff?
Yeah, he kind of like, the first date we had went well.
Oh my God.
No, you're good. You're good. Let it spill. That's good. It's just wood. No, you just leave it. Let it dry.
Oh.
You're good. We're yeah, okay. Yeah.
The first, I think it was a little bit obvious in the beginning. Because he would kind of like mansplain what I should be doing with my career. Like, here's what you need to be doing. And I was just like, I just met you. And like, but at first it was like, I thought it was nice. Like, I was like, oh, you know, he's been in this business for a while and he knows what he's doing and he's giving advice. And I was just, I thought it was nice until I realized what it really was.
You said a word that I don't really know the exact definition.
Yeah.
Can you explain mansplain?
Mansplain.
So mansplain.
S-P-L-A-I-N.
S-P-L-A-I-N.
So hard for me to spell.
Or is it man explain?
Mansplain.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Man, but it's like man explaining. Mansplain.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
So what?
It's very obvious when a guy does it.
So is it? Give me an example of. Give me maybe like one or two examples of a mansplain situation.
Okay, so do you want to do role play? You're the woman and
yeah,
I'm the guy.
Yeah, that's a fun exercise. Okay.
Okay, so
I'm the woman?
Yeah, you're the woman. So so what do you do for work?
I'm a barista.
You're a barista. Where at?
Starbucks on La Cienega.
Okay, so is that like the job you want to have, or is that like, do you like it there, or?
It's just a temporary thing, Brad.
Okay. What do you really want to do?
I don't know. I'm just trying to figure it out, Bradley.
Okay, so what I would say for you, the advice that I would give you and what actually you should do is you should write down like all of the things you're good at, which might not be a lot of things because it just sounds like your skill set is low. But you should write down things that like you like to do and things that you can apply and just make that list
of different jobs, and then you can go on. There's different websites. Okay, I don't know if you've heard of LinkedIn.
Bradley, I have my shifts in 5 minutes.
Have you heard of Indeed?
No, my shifts in 5 minutes.
There's
Bradley.
Websites where you
I
can
have
look
to
at
go, Bradley. Bye, Bradley.
It's basically
dude,
when somebody
that was so believable.
When somebody gives you unsolicited advice,
you said like 8 things. How do you, dude, that was, you. I was scared when you were talking to me. Like, I actually felt like.
So it's when, this is the thing, is the guy doesn't listen to you. He's just talking at you. And he's telling you what you need to do. And you never asked for any advice. And he's telling you, like you need his wisdom. Like, you will not survive without his wisdom. It's a specific energy.
So it's unsolicited advice where he's just, you need to hear this.
You need to hear this.
Yeah. No, I'm going to tell you some things.
Yeah, he was like, Dana, you need to go on the road. You need to get out of LA. You need to go perform here. You need to perform in Austin. You need to perform in Seattle. And you need to hit up all of these places. And this is what you need to do to get your career to the next level. And I'm telling you, this is what you need to do. And I'm like,
you didn't ask for it.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't even.
So how is mansplaining different than advice or constructive criticism? How are those two different?
I perceive it as an energy. Where advice is like, advice should always start off with the person being like, hey, do you want this piece of advice?
Right.
And that other person being like, actually, yes, or no, I just wanted to vent. Like, sometimes I ask my friends, I'm like, do you want feedback or do you just want me to listen?
That's interesting because the mansplaining is I don't care what you think. I'm just going
to
do this.
I'm going to show you how to do this and how you should be doing this. And it's like a very like aggressive, like straightforward tone. And I've noticed this guy that I'm seeing, like I made a joke because his tone switched and I was like, you're about to mansplain. And he was like, oh, shit, I didn't mean to.
Oh, so you caught it.
And it's funny. And he's like, yeah, it's like a funny thing. But I think that guys are definitely aware, but it's definitely a term that I think I've done it before. I think it's a term that's been overused a little bit.
I think I did that in my past.
It's okay.
No, because I'm thinking about like past relationships and I'm like, oh, I think I've done some of that. Is there a thing called woman-splain? Woman-splain?
I would feel like that is more. What's when someone moms you. I think a girl
can mom-splain.
I do this where I'll be like, did you lock the door when we left?
Mom-splain. Do a couple more.
You need to lock the door when you leave your house.
Mom-splain.
You need to wash your face.
Mom-splain.
Are you using SPF in the morning?
Mom-splain.
Are you eating enough fiber?
Mom-splain.
You need to start taking your fucking vitamins,
okay,
you bitch.
I get it. That's good. Dude, that was good. No, this is interesting because this is all, you know, it's all relevant to today's world, especially like in the dating world and the whatever creative fields or whatever you're into.
I think it's fine if you do it and like you just catch yourself because I catch myself. I'll be like, oh, my God, I'm like hardcore like being a mom right now.
But. Does this exist in the comedy world? Comedy splain, where a comedian, like a well-known established comedian, goes to an open micer. Hey, let me tell you something, kid. This is what you're doing wrong.
Oh, but we
this
like
is what you're
that.
Doing. This is what you're doing wrong.
We like that.
So that's different.
I think so. I think if a bigger comic watched my set and gave me feedback, I would be
delighted.
Honored. Yeah.
You would like that.
I would like that.
Why? What's the difference? Oh, because it helps you develop. It helps you develop.
Yeah, I think if he had to be at a level that was like very clearly, because then if it's just like another, which has happened to me before, where like I get off stage and like a male comic, it's always a male comic.
It always.
Never a female comic.
Always.
And he's like, hey, this is what you need to be doing. So you just need to like really take it to another level. Like you're kind of holding back and like you need to push it to the next level. And I'm like, hi, who are you?
Right.
Like, what are your credits?
Yeah. You know what? It's weird because I did King the Sting this morning with Brandon, you know, because all like I don't do comedy. I used to, but everyone on there is like established.
Yeah.
And I realized, oh, there's hierarchies in the comedy world.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, like Jeremiah, that's my brother, right? And, like, you know, he's a comedian. You know, he got passed at the store. But even in that world, I think they perceive him a little lower than where they're at because they have a Showtime special or this and that. And it was interesting to me.
So many levels to it. Yeah, but I don't think any of that is real.
What do you mean?
It is real as you want to look at it. But at the end of the day, it's like we're all trying to make people feel good. We're all trying to make people laugh. We're all trying to make people forget their problems.
Mm-hmm.
Just because one of you, you know, you have an hour on a network doesn't mean you're better or worse than me. Like, it's mm-hmm. to me, that's all like the ego.
It is, isn't it?
And it's not real. Like, oh, I'm not verified on Instagram, therefore
I'm not
as good as blank person who is verified. It's like, mm-hmm. it's all made up. And, you know,
but can I ask you this question? Do you think what makes a comedian successful, they need that ego and pride? You know, it's kind of like that extra piece of armor that, like, it's kind of like that extra, like a Jedi has like a Sith Lord kind of like evil magic spell or something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think for some people it drives them, but for me, the ego really is the opposite for me. Like, it's, if I'm living in my ego, I'm like very, very, like, I'm very depressed. It doesn't fuel me.
Can a comedian be successful without being egotistical is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That exists.
The best comics are, like, look at Jim Carrey. He has no ego.
But
he had an ego, but then, you know.
Well, he did a lot of work on himself.
Yeah.
Like, you know, spiritual retreats and reading a lot of books on spirituality.
He's on, like, a different plane. He's my hero, by the way.
Yeah. So what, okay, that's funny. Because you know what's funny? You just said that. You know, you have an iPhone, right?
Yes.
You know, like on that app, it's iTunes. Like, you could buy movies on your phone, like from iMovies or iTunes. Yeah. There's a bin for if you look on, there's a $4.99 sales, $6.99 sales. So I always go every week and I see what's on sale. I just bought Man on the Moon. And when's the last time you saw that movie?
I haven't seen it in so long.
Yeah, but I was watching that and I'm like, whoa, he's a good actor.
Yeah, he's an amazing actor.
Yeah.
I think he talks about how every movie he did paralleled his own life in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm trying to think of an example, but I guess every character he played was like something he was going through himself in his own personal life, which is
maybe you're right. Maybe Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless, Truman Show.
Yeah. I don't know. He told a story about, like, even the character in Liar Liar, and it's just like, it's so, I don't know, it's just like similar with all of, you know, his stuff. And
mm-hmm.
I was most impressed when he played that one comic,
Andy Kaufman.
Yeah,
that's Man on the Moon.
That, oh my god, that's Man on the Moon.
Yeah. That's the one I just bought.
Oh my
that's
god,
what I'm
you have to
you.
Say you have to say
oh no, that's the Andy Kaufman, you know. Yeah.
That movie was
it's a
the
good,
one.
Right? Danny DeVito's in it.
That blew
yeah,
my
yeah.
mind. His acting is insane.
Right.
But apparently he was, like, psychotic to work with.
Jim?
He was Andy Kaufman the whole time. He, like, didn't shower.
But that's, like, method acting.
No, he stayed in character for 2 months.
I know, that's it's a part of method acting, isn't it? Like, where they just stay in character?
I mean,
that must be a nightmare
scary.
To work with people like that, right?
Yeah,
nightmare.
They don't turn it off.
Mm-hmm. Like, now, do you support, like, comedians or just entertainers that decide to choose a different creative field, like, because Jim moved into doing art, painting. Do you encourage stuff like that where it's like...
Yeah, I think it's weird that he's, like, not fully... It's weird to me that somebody who's such a comic through and through, like Jim Carrey, decides to just wake up one day and be like, nah, I'm going to paint. Like... That scares me because I can't imagine my life not doing comedy and not having that outlet. Because whenever I don't perform, I get so depressed. So I'm
You really do?
I really do.
Real? No, for real?
For real. It's weird.
So you really love this shit. Like you,
yeah,
like you love it.
But you know what? I need breaks from it.
So you love it, but you hate it.
No, it's such a weird relationship. It's like comedy is like an abusive boyfriend.
It is?
Yeah. It's just like I love him so much, but he hurts me.
Oh, so how do you like How does so where are you at now? So are you like, how does one get booked on like a tour, or do you need like a tour manager? Like, how do you book shows?
I need a tour agent. Any tour agents are watching, my stand-up has gotten much better. After the pandemic, my stand-up has gotten much better.
Okay, so.
No, but like, isn't that weird?
But you know what's even weirder?
I didn't do it for a year and a half, and I went back on stage, and it was like, whoa.
But you know what's weirder? I'm a different person. You don't know who might be watching this.
Yes.
Because you know why I would bring that up? Because my brother, out of nowhere, like, he was working with Howie Mandel. And Howie Mandel, like, knows about, like, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, Stevie Weeby Show. And I'm like, he knows about the podcast.
You have.
So you don't know who's watching. There could be a, you know, like a manager. I don't know who's watching.
Yeah, I do need a manager.
So let's do it out. Let's put it out. Like,
we're putting
let's
it out there.
Positive energy. Like, look towards the camera.
Yes.
And then do your positive affirmation to out there.
Okay? I am deserving. I am blessed. I am loved.
No, I want do 10 minutes of it. No, do 10 minutes of it. Do 10 minutes.
I am worthy. I am beautiful. I'm a child of God. And I have a very tight puss. I'm just okay. We'll delete that part.
No, that's staying in there. Do five more.
I am hilarious. I am talented. I am wigs. Because I have wigs. I am grateful, and I'm open to receiving.
Dude, amazing.
I am wigs because I have wigs.
So. If a booker or manager watches this, how do they get in contact with Dana Moon?
Oh my God, my website, danamoonme.com, my Instagram, at danamoonme.
Spell it out for the viewers and listeners.
DanaMoonme, at danamoonme. You have amazing fans, by the way.
What are you talking about?
No, we're
talking about you. Don't talk about me.
The last show we did.
No, we're talking about you.
People were very supportive.
That was 2 years ago, Dana.
I know, but the comments were very supportive, and I appreciated it.
You know what? It's good. You're always welcome here, and it's good you're doing it again.
Yeah.
And because it's a good look, and it's you never know who's watching.
Yeah.
I have to bring an uncomfortable topic about a certain fan base that I have. Whenever I have a female guest, they go, like, they DM me and they're like, "Dude, you should bring up the topic of micro penises to see what females think about." But have you heard of that term?
I've experienced one micro penis in my life, and hopefully the first and the last. In college.
So
I experienced a micro penis.
So would that be a good depiction?
No, it was hard at this.
Wait. Is that the base?
This is the base.
This is the base. Okay, so wait.
Can we get a zoom in?
No.
When you edit, we'll zoom in.
So that's. Can I measure? Okay, so that's the whole. That's the.
This is not an exaggeration, you guys.
Is that hard or soft?
Hard.
You're lying. Hold up. Keep your finger out.
It's 1 inch.
Yeah, it's 1 inch.
It was rock hard.
1 inch?
And I was literally like going like this, and I was like, no way. And then the thing is he didn't even stop me. Like, I feel like if I had a micro penis, I would try to not have somebody touch it. I mean, is that mean?
No, it's not, but can I ask you something? Was he physically big? Like, was he, it would be funny if he was 6'4".
No, he was small.
How tall?
He was like 5'8", 5'7".
No, that's not small.
I mean, I consider like a big guy to be like 6 feet.
So
he was small. He was 5'11".
So that makes me miniature.
I'm large. I'm large though. I'm 5'9".
Really?
So a guy who's 5'7" or 5'8" is small. They're smaller than me.
Okay, let me give you this. Let me present a scenario.
Okay.
If a guy that's 5'2", like 5'2", let me finish, but looks like Leonardo DiCaprio, he has a six pack, he's a millionaire, okay? He has a yacht, okay? He has two houses.
Is he nice?
Very nice, very well-mannered, family man. Would you date him or marry him? Go ahead.
How did he treat me?
Dude.
Do we connect on like on a spiritual and mental love level?
Yes.
Love. We're
yes.
in love.
Yes.
He donates to charities.
Yes. He loves animals. Children. He loves animals.
And he
dogs, cats, hamsters.
Micro penis or no micro penis?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let me finish. Okay. So all that he's small.
5'2".
He's 5'2", but he has all these things going for him. But let me tell you something.
This is stressing me out.
Okay. So this is the base.
That's penis.
This is what you get. This is everything. This is the head.
Well, I might as well marry a woman.
What'd you say?
I would have better sex with a woman.
But there's something here.
No. That's literally how I think. If a guy has a small penis, I'm like, I'd rather be having sex with a woman.
Really?
I've never done it, but I just know it's good.
But let me ask you this. Be fair, because there might be, I think some of my fans might be in that community. So let's just be fair
right,
to them.
Right.
This has potential to satisfy.
Sure. To other women, yes.
But no, hear me out.
Okay.
Can't you work around this? Like, because there's toys.
I think, here's my experience. Guys who I've been with who are less endowed are very good with their hands in their mouth. They make up for it.
That's a necessity.
This is my experience. This is my experience. Personally, guys that I've been with big, fat dongs.
Okay, like, what are we... Okay, hold
like
on. Let me...
big, huge, monster cocks.
Go ahead. Just, okay, start from here. Dana, start from here at the base.
I'm literally this... Yes. Yeah.
Wait a minute. This whole thing?
Thick and all the way up to here. 9. Yeah, 9. Yes. I've experienced that. Well,
this.
Not the whole thing, because it was...
No, but this.
It wasn't fun.
I would say within this realm, give or take...
This realm.
Yeah, yeah.
This realm.
But let me tell you something. They're terrible at sex, and they don't know how to go down on a girl because they have such a big penis. They
you
never had to learn.
You don't have to do anything if you're endowed like this. You could just... Cause dude,
yeah, you do, because
that's a blessing from heaven. God gave you something like this, you could just sit back on the couch eating Cheetos, and you don't have to do anything.
Because this is a blessing
from the heavens.
No, let me tell you why. Their personalities weren't that great. And they did not know really how to use it and really how to use their hands and their mouth. And I would prefer an average size guy who knows how to use everything.
Really?
Yes.
I'm going to ask you again.
Yes.
Really? That's the truth.
That's the God honest truth. Yeah.
Now,
that's the truth.
When you are, man, whatever
this. Just because it's big doesn't mean it's going
to
be.
My defense to that is you don't have to know how to do anything. You could, like, that's my point, is if you were
it's still not. No, I'm telling you, it's still not good.
What are you talking about? What do you mean if it's still not good? So the guy is, he can't
just
move.
Just because he has a big penis doesn't mean it's going to be good.
What do you mean it's not going to be good? I'm going to put myself in a female's body. It's going to be good, man.
He doesn't know how to use it.
No, you don't. That's my point, is you don't have to know. If you're just laying on top of the person.
No.
What do you mean no?
Then these guys, because they have these big penises, they do like the jackhammer move, which we hate.
Hold up.
Nobody likes it, and nobody's telling these guys to stop doing this move.
Okay, I have to.
And then they do the circular one. That's awful. It feels like you're like taking a spoon and like you're baking, getting ready to bake me or something. Like, why are you spooning my inside with your dick?
We have to go.
Fucking circle move. Oh, like,
wait, hold up. Use the way. What else? The jackhammer. Then go back to the circle move. Go back to the circle. I want to know more in detail what those things. What is a jackhammer and what's the circle move?
The jackhammer is when a guy is like pound, 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 and you're like, oh my god, I can't.
What's the Frogger? Is it the Frogger?
I call it the jackhammer because it's just like he's drilling in, and you're like, who does this feel good for?
But what's his posture like? He's
on top of you,
like Jack. Yeah, oh, the jackhammer.
Yeah.
You don't like that.
Nobody likes that.
What's the... Now, nobody more importantly, that. What's the circle move?
The circle move is something my ex-boyfriend did, and I didn't have the heart to tell him, and he thought he was really doing something when he would do it, because he would, like, bite his lip, and he would, like, move in circles, and he would just be like... and he would be like, oh, I'm killing it. And it was like, it felt like I was like cookie batter. And he was just like getting, like stirring the inside of my body. It was oh, it's the worst.
All right, so guys, if you're watching this or listening to this at home, don't do the jackhammer and don't do the circle. Because in their minds, you said it, they think they're killing it.
Killing it. My ex did this move. I didn't have the heart to tell him. And then I hooked up with him 3 years later out of whatever. And he was still doing the move. And I was like, in the matter of span of 3 years told him. Like, and I didn't have it in my heart to be like, yo, stop doing right. that.
Okay, let's flip the coin on this. What are the two good ones?
The two good ones are the when the guy is behind in like a spoon way.
So side spoon?
Yeah. And so it's like it's from behind, but he's holding you.
Side spoon. Like side to side.
He's behind. Yeah. I don't know what it's called.
It's a spoon, but it's side to side. He's on his side. He's on a hip. He's yes. on one of his hips.
Yes.
Okay, let me write that down.
That's the good one.
Why is that good? Because
what I like is to be close during sex, which I don't know if guys like this, but I like the closeness and the weight of the body, because it's like, you know, the other moves were like he's on top and then your legs are like this, and so he's so far from
right
you.
right,
and then those, to me, it's like when you masturbate, when you do it alone, mm-hmm. you're alone.
Right.
So it's like when I'm having sex, I don't want to feel like I'm alone. I want to feel like the weight.
You want to feel the intimacy, yeah. the closeness. Now, could this be yes. another reason why you like it or why people like it is because there's not a lot of energy exerted because you're both on your hips. You know what I'm saying? Like, because all the other positions, you know, like missionary, for instance, you know, the guy's on top and he's like, he's like doing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this way, he's on his side hip. He's on one of his hips. You're relaxed. You're on one of your hips.
And then there's room to like.
There's room to move.
And yeah.
But what if the guy starts doing the circle move?
You can't do the circle move from behind. On the side, you can't.
Yeah, you're right. You can't. Yeah. Can you? You can't do it.
No.
All right. Give me one more example of a. So that's number one.
And then is it missionary? I like missionary. Like if I'm on top, I think that's. So that's fun because I have control.
Cowgirl.
Cowgirl is when you're turning the
No, that's reverse
direction.
Cowgirl. That's reverse cowgirl.
I guess it's called cowgirl. I've never thought about that.
So you're on top of the man and you're looking at down at his face.
And then you can control it. Like, I think maybe for me, I like that controlling aspect. Or like, I can be far away if I want to be mm-hmm. far away. I can be close. Or you know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, I want to give you one more. This is so fun to talk about these things. What if you met a guy,
okay,
and he's 5'5"?
Okay.
He's not a millionaire,
yep.
but he has a small little cute house in Los Feliz. Maybe
then
two or
a millionaire.
Three. Okay, hold up. That's not. Okay, no. Okay. So he lives in Alhambra. He's got a two-room house in Alhambra. Or Rosemead.
Okay.
Look at that reaction. Okay. He makes about 60,000 a year, 60 to 75K a year. Kind of average.
And how does he own a house in California?
Well, he won some in a settlement or, you know, somehow he paid it or okay. he had help from his family. Okay. He drives a modest car.
Okay.
He drives like a Toyota. Let's say like a 2021 Camry.
What's his relationship with money? How does he view money? I think that's an interesting question to ask somebody rather than how much money do you have? How do you feel about money and what's your relationship with it?
Well, I'm coming this like on the fly.
Okay.
I just want to get to the base things.
Oh,
okay.
You don't have it all written down?
I don't have it written down. But this is the kicker. But his penis, when erect, is, it's bigger an inch, it's 2 inches. So, let me get back to the ruler. So, this is what you get.
I mean,
that's, you're working with something. There's, you know, that's something, right?
Yeah, I'm going to say a hard no. I mean, you presented a guy that lives in Alhambra. I don't even know where that is.
Rosemead
after. I don't even know where Rosemead is. Let's go.
Okay, okay. So no.
No, absolutely not.
But how about this? He treats you like a princess. He's so nice. Your family loves this guy. He doesn't forget any family events, okay? He's good with kids. He loves animals, okay? He won't cheat on. He's not a cheater.
Because he literally can't.
What are you talking about?
He doesn't have the goods.
What are you talking about?
He's small people. I love how when you're explaining like a guy to me, you're like, you always start with money, which is really funny because you're like, okay, this is how much money he makes.
Yeah.
This is where he lives.
So you, how about this? You tell me the ideal, Dana Moon's ideal scenario of dating. Go.
My ideal,
ideal you,
guy.
Paint the picture. Paint the picture. Paint the picture.
Okay, I'll just say my dream guy.
Yes.
He is financially secure. He does what he loves. He is creative, but also business minded. He is a homeowner. He's very, he works out. He's very into fitness. He's not an addict. He is very spiritual. He comes from a really nice family. He's
what does he look
kind.
Like? What does he look like?
Hugh Jackman. honestly, I'm gonna be for real. It's not about the looks to me. It's about like how somebody makes me feel. I swear to God.
Cut. Timestamp that.
If you look
get
at.
Get back to reality. Be real. Okay. If now, you okay, look. We're back.
We're back.
Again.
If you looked at every guy I've dated, none of them look similar in any way. It's such a spectrum.
So you're saying you would date an ugly man?
Yeah. No, but like, it's more to me what turns me on is personality. Like,
timestamp that. Let's start from square. We're back to square one. Okay, I'm saving you. I'm saving. Okay. Okay, and we're back. So, what makes a man attractive? Go ahead. Are you being real?
What makes a guy attractive are uniqueness. Okay.
Okay. So if a man
weirdness. If a guy is different, he has my attention.
Okay. So if he's whatever, all the things you said, but he's like this.
Okay. No. I
made reservations at Stickers.
You know what? I actually, I went out with a guy who looked really cute in his photos, and then I met him in person, and he was a lot heavier set, but and looked different, not as attractive.
Okay.
And he was really funny and really nice, and honestly, became more attractive to me.
Wait, he became more attracted to you or you being more attracted to him?
I was more attracted to him because of his personality. Like, that's really a thing.
It's really a thing.
I felt like I was being catfished because, like, he, you know, showed up looking a little bit different.
Yeah.
But then he was, like,
funny. A little or a lot different? Be honest.
A little different.
A little or a lot? A lot different. A lot different than the pictures show.
No, not
a lot different. Be real.
Middle different.
So a slight change.
Yeah.
So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to body shame him or anything, but how much did he look like he weighed in the pictures?
Gosh, probably like 200 pounds.
And then what showed up?
Probably 300 pounds.
That's a different thing. That's a lot different. That's a whole different ball game, my friend. That's way different. That's 100 pounds more than what you expected,
okay,
Dana.
But
Jesus. That's so different.
Yeah, but
it's so different.
when he, my point being is that he was nice, funny, and smart, and it was like, I didn't even think about it. I was like, whatever, you know?
How long were you dating this man?
We went only went on one date.
I rest my case.
He ended up texting me like so many days after, and then he ended up saying like a couple weird things and awkward things, and I was just like, nah.
Wait, let's don't. I'm not gonna let you off the hook that fast.
Yeah.
Through text message?
Do I have a text message?
No. Through text message, he said weird things. Or in person.
In person, he said like weird, awkward things.
Give me an example. Give me an example of that. Because people could learn from this.
He would like, so the conversation would be like flowing, and then out of nowhere, he would just stop and stare. And I like to do this thing on dates where I leave awkward silence to see how the guy like deals with it. Like sometimes,
so you're doing mind games?
I'm not. This isn't a mind game.
No, that's some kind of game you're playing. It's a psychological mind game you're doing.
I am testing to see how the guy takes control in a situation that is a little bit uncomfortable.
So you're doing a test. It's a shit test. Yeah. You're shit testing him. It's a test. I'm writing. You're testing him.
No,
you are though. It's called a shit test.
See,
it's called a shit test. Yeah. You're testing him. Okay. What are the reasons for that?
I am getting to know somebody.
Yeah.
And I just want to see how do they deal with a situation when it's a little bit weird.
Awkward.
And you can tell a lot by someone's personality.
So
what they do.
Give me an example of that. Okay, let's say I'm the guy.
Okay.
Okay, like we're having a conversation.
So the conversation is flowing and we're talking about, say, my stepdad, because I kept bringing up my stepdad for some reason, okay. Which is weird.
What's his name?
Al. So we're talking about Al.
Has Al been doing okay?
And, I'm telling you about it.
Okay,
him, so it's
okay.
Like, so for the first time.
Uh-huh.
So my stepdad was like, he's like a power lifter. He's like this like funny character. And
no, we're doing it. We're doing it now.
And
play it out. I'm the boy.
So then
I'm
you
the
say.
Man.
So then you comment on that.
Oh, is it body lifter?
Yeah, he's a body lifter.
Is he still doing that?
Yeah, he's still doing it.
Oh, cool.
And then he just cuts the conversation. Like we'll be having a conversation, and then he just stops. Right. So it's.
Oh. So that's what it's like?
And then I'm waiting for him to start the conversation.
Pretty nice restaurant.
He doesn't.
He shuts down. Like and a robot shutting down.
I normally do this and it takes about like 15 seconds, 10 seconds at the most for a guy, 10, 15,
mm-hmm.
for the guy to start talking or say something else. He didn't.
He did not.
For a minute.
So
it was just silent.
So in your mind... be honest about this. In your mind, are you like, I'm done with him? Because this is a date This is a date, right? This is So he failed the test.
No, I think I was just sitting there being like, what is happening? Like,
right.
Who, you know, like, and then he started like violently shaking. So the beginning.
Wait, you're not getting off that easy.
The beginning of
Holy
the day
smokes.
Went well, is what I'm telling you. And
he
I was
started
in
shaking.
In the end, took a nosedive, you guys. You asked me why this was only one date, and
right.
I'm getting to the reason
so,
why.
Was it a
starts
like a,
shaking.
Was it an epileptic shake or just
no, like
fidgeting? It was a fidget. He was fidgeting.
What is this?
It's a nervous reaction. Oh my God.
And I was like, are you cold? And he's like, yeah, it just got cold in here. And it didn't, by the way. It didn't get cold. And I was like, okay. And then we're talking about something else. And I'm realizing we should wrap it up. And there was so many awkward silences for no reason. And I'm realizing, whatever. But there were so many good moments of the day. This is what's confusing. The beginning, there were great moments. And then he starts shaking again even more. And I was like,
what's up with the shaking, man?
I was like, okay, we should go. And he's like, yeah, let's go. Let's go right now. And so.
Maybe he was really nervous.
And then I got one drink, by the way, a non-alcoholic drink.
But what did you order? Did you finish your meal?
We only got drinks.
No meal?
No meal. And he says to me, he's like, by the way,
I paid for your drink. Like, so that to me deal breaker. I was like, dude, you're making a big deal over like $8. Like, right? So then we walk out and I see that he has a boner. Popping out of his khaki shorts. Can you believe he was wearing khaki shorts on a date?
This is not a good look for this guy.
And I literally did that thing with my eye where I was like, boner. Shit. Pretend like there's not a boner. Pretend that there's not a boner.
Oh,
so he's like, okay, bye. And in my head, I'm like, pretend that you don't see the boner. Pretend you don't see the boner.
Was it, how far was it sticking out?
Oh, it was all the way out. It was.
Okay, so it was like. Was it a big boner?
It was a raging hard boner.
I mean, it was big, huh?
I mean, it was like a tent in his pants.
It was like a tent.
A tent.
Did he try to kiss you?
Okay, well, let me finish the story. Okay. We're standing in front of valet. Our head is like under the tent. And this, you know, poor valet guy is literally right here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just such a kind of a weird place to say goodbye. But I'm just like, my brain is like, don't focus on the boner. And so I just go in to give him a hug.
You made the move.
Yeah, I was like, this has been fun. Thank you. Go in for the hug, and he goes in to kiss me.
Oh, no, 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 no.
And I did the swerve. Oh. I hit him with the swerve.
Oh, that's it. You mean, oh, right.
I did the duck and swerve.
Right, duck under.
And
duck.
You know what, ladies? It is very easy to do. The tell duck
him,
and swerve.
Tell him. How do you do it?
You sense the guy coming on, and you just go, thank you so much. And you just swerve to his shoulder and pull him in tight like you meant to give him a side.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
A side hug.
Right.
And I got out of it, but he was very upset that I did that to him.
He was?
Yeah. He was like, okay.
He did that?
Yes. He had several different jolts.
You know what? I could see why it was only one date.
See, I'm being honest with you guys.
Yeah, yeah. You know what?
Yeah.
You passed. That was good.
But I called my friend as I was leaving because I was like, I've never been so confused on a date in my life. Like, because in the beginning, I got like a hard yes from this guy. Like, he was funny. He was smart. He was insightful. Like, the conversation was flowing and then he would stop it. But then the conversation was flowing and they would stop it and be awkward.
What if it was a mental, like a medical condition, like a mental condition?
Yeah, I don't know. I was very confused because I was like, either you leave a date and it's a hard yes or a hard no.
Mm.
You never leave a date and you go, what the fuck?
That's not a good indicator, is it?
And then he texted me 4 days later.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, honestly, if I was interested, that would be a no for me.
Yeah.
And because I wasn't interested, it was easier to be like, yeah, guys, don't wait. Don't wait the 3 days. Don't do it.
Tell him again.
Don't wait the 3 day rule. We know you're doing it. And it just pisses us off. Like,
it does?
Yes. It's
so
awful.
Y'all are aware of that.
We're aware of the 3 day rule.
They
and
got that from Swingers, the movie Swingers. Because they have a thing on.
So dumb. Mm-hmm. Like, we're so done playing games.
So
we
that's
don't
games.
Have time.
You don't have time for it.
And text, honestly, like, just whenever you think of the person. I mean, mm-hmm. The most 24 hours. The most.
Okay. We're gonna end with one more because I just thought of a great scenario for you. You meet a guy. He checks off every box on your list. Homeowner. Like, mansion owner. Different properties. Handsome like Tom Hardy. Funny. Good with kids. Responsible, loves your family.
So serious, by the way.
Your family loves him. Okay, first date, anywhere, somewhere in Beverly Hills, steakhouse. Order what you want. Just, you know, the bill comes. He just signs away. Doesn't even bring it up. Gentleman.
Okay, but
at the end of the date, you're about to kiss him. Okay, this guy's handsome. You can't wait till to kiss this guy, but then you notice that when you're this far away and he opens his mouth, raw shit. Everything's good but raw. Like, there's
okay,
a shit.
Why does he have raw shit in his mouth?
Just don't worry about it. Shit, he ate it like 100 shit sandwiches.
Okay, his breath smells like shit.
And then, but his breath was like shit. His breath was like shit. And then he's
halitosis?
Doing
halitosis?
No, but he's doing a thing where he's like, and then you smell it.
Is
just
there shit in
go
his mouth?
Into your nostrils. You smell the shit. What do you do?
No. No. I'm a big breath and teeth person, and that's going to be a no.
Dana.
No. You would not. You would not. If I reversed the situation on you, you would say no.
Hmm? Say that again. Say that again.
If I presented the most perfect girl for you.
Oh, like she looks like Natalie Portman and just.
She has everything going on. She's nice. She's sweet. She's beautiful. She's, successful. She's funny. She's charming. And she has shit breath.
And what's the question? What's the question?
And she goes in to kiss you and she has shit breath.
What is it? Would I?
Like her breath smells so bad, it makes your eyes water. It's like chopping an onion. Your eyes are watering. You go in to kiss her and then your nose is running because it's so strong. It's hurting.
But everything checks off.
Yes.
Like banging.
Yes.
Banging body. Beautiful.
But you're going to have to sleep with her with like duct tape over her mouth. You can't kiss her. I don't even understand why you're thinking this is.
Because I can't. You're putting me on the spot. You know what? Yeah, you're right. Yeah. No.
Yeah?
That's a no.
What if everything I said, and she didn't have shit breath, but she had weird liquid always running out of her nipples. Not milk. Just like a like a glue substance that was brown.
Wait. Like, what the fuck? Like sewage juice, like sewage juice coming out of her nipple.
It didn't smell, but it was just brown and it was glue.
It didn't smell. It was sticky, like glue. It didn't smell though.
It didn't smell. No, it was just a glue.
Oh, that's
sticky.
Not a big deal. And thanks for tuning in for another great episode of the Steepy Weeby Show. Okay, yeah. But yeah, the poo thing. I would, for part three, I'll get back to you on
okay,
a more concise answer for you. I have to think that out. I have to think it through. Because if she has things, I'll just put a hold on that.
Okay,
we'll
put a pin in it.
Now's the time to. We're done, but I want you to really promote your all your social medias and everything.
I feel like I promoted everything with the affirmations, but...
No, but your Instagram, website, whatever.
Yeah, go to my website and go to my calendar for shows, danamoonme.com. I go to Palm Springs a lot. I go to San Diego a lot, Orange County, L.A. Hopefully, I'll be touring more in 2022, but Instagram and Twitter at danamoonme, and TikTok is at... Dana Mooner.
Oh, you got a TikTok?
My TikTok is really fun.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
It's really crazy. My TikTok is like, I don't give a shit. You just
have fun
post
with it.
Whatever is like on my mind. Mm-hmm. And it's more off the rails and fun.
Okay.
Head on over to
there. Website, we got all that?
Not at all.
Can you just repeat your Instagram and spell it out to them? Because you said it kind of fast earlier.
Dana Moon Me.
So it's Dana Moon Me.
Yeah, DanaMoonme.
And then I'm also going to put that in the description boxes of all the stuff.
Cool,
okay.
You.
Dude, that was fun. Yeah, that was fun, right? I love these little scenarios. I like doing
it. I know, they're always
It's fun. So thanks for tuning in. If you want to help support the podcast, the platform, go to patreon.com/SteveWeeby. Go to steveweebyshow.com for any of the merch stuff. Just know the orders will be a little bit delayed because of the stuff happening, pandemic and everything. Instagram/QUANGOU. All the music's at steveweebybandcamp.com. I don't know if I'm supposed to mention it, but Dave and Mark and all them wanted to at least to put it out in the universe. We are doing a little... we're doing a Monchi kind of like album where we're recording new music. So it won't probably drop for a while, but I just want to let y'all know that we are meeting every day or every other day. So look out for that. Scissor Bros. Okay. If you want to support Scissor Bros, we drop episodes every Friday. Go to youtube.com/Scissor Bros. Chelsea, what's the, me and Jeremiah are going to be in Missouri. November 13th. What does the thing say? Flyover? Oh, at the Flyover Comedy Festival at the podcast room. I've never been to Missouri. That's only one day. So I don't know how you're going to get tickets, but just tune in to Scissor Brothers for that. Stevie's P.O. Box. I have a P.O. Box. If you want to send any packages or mail, send your stuff to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California 90093. I think, did we get everything? Dude, that was fun.
That was so fun.
That was really fun. And didn't time fly?
It flew.
Yeah.
Now I'm energized.
My buddy Skip is a trip, feeling blue like a crip. Framed for robbing a bank, letting loose from the hip. He really couldn't predict this grip, a soul full of angst. Him and Henry Woodward Techers did a song and dance at bit. Oh, rodeo man in the West, you can. You're the best on the land, you bless the sands. Do the bull with your hand, oh Skip, you can. Get that fucking bull, pull on that rope. Feeling still crazy, maintaining against the grain. Making me wanna get in a plane. The pain inside my brain never ends, sustained. I'm down for the count on the ground. Living today, don't give it away, the peace and the praise, the rays. Shining it down to mightiest crowns, the finest of frowns delayed. Skippy's afraid, he feels betrayed, lift this way, can deal with shade. A spade is a spade, he made the greatest blade in a charade of pain. I am not a man, I am an animal, a male. I live by maritime, the law of water about to sail. When my mother had me, I slipped out of her canal. What you call a sailing ship is named after a female. Show holding.